Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Is it fair to call us your official pothole station of the Midwest today? I've heard you reporting on the story.
We have
giant potholes that are swallowing up cars.
There is one that looks like it's a pretty big size on Route 53. This is westbound before the Jane Addams Tollway, and several flat tires have been caused over there.
Oh boy! So be careful.
It's in the right lane. On Route 53, westbound before the Jane Addams.
Oh, boy.
So as you're approaching that, just beware.
I went through one this morning, a pothole.
You did?
Yeah, they're no fun.
And what happened? Any damage?
I didn't get a flat. I don't think so.
Just all right.
Scared me.
Yeah. I hit one once, and I thought, oh, boy, okay, survived this. No big deal. A couple days later, a low tire.
Oh, see.
Yeah, so, it's one of those things that was one of those slow building processes.
Now, so, well, as we hear more about the potholes, we'll break into regular programming to bring you the latest.
And may I say, we're going to call you Dapper Dean today because of a hat that you're wearing.
I've been called worse.
Dapper Dean. With the beret that you are
what is this hat
sporting.
Called?
Yeah,
what
I'm trying to remember the name of it.
I call it my cab driver hat, and I'm wearing it not because I want to look super cool, and I really do look super cool.
You do.
But it's freezing in this office today. It's cold. Huh.
My grandfather wore a hat like that. I called it the pancake hat because it was flat.
It does look like a pancake.
Yeah.
And I've heard it called the newsboy hat. Remember the guys that used to sell like Timmy from Long Chevrolet used to do. extra.
Wow. Yeah. Andy's going in the land where usually only Schwanny and I do.
Exactly.
There's a memory.
Timmy the Long Chevrolet kid.
Little newsboy.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a name for this kind of hat.
And I don't remember it.
None of which we've just mentioned.
No.
But it's a nice wool hat. It's super warm on my bald head. And
you're bundled up in there, too. You have a
cold.
Jacket on, the hat.
No, I don't have a jacket.
Or you have any, no gloves.
No, I have this hoodie.
You have boots on?
All of us young kids like to wear hoodies, Schwanny.
I got my hoodie on today.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I have to get with the program here.
Come on.
I've got one at home.
All right.
I got it when the Cubs won the World Series, actually.
Let's all get our hats on and our hoodies and walk down the street.
Andy is sporting a Bears hoodie today.
Yep. Got to get into the mood here.
I don't wear anything with logos on them.
Except for WGN.
No, I don't even wear that.
You don't?
It's because it's weird. If I'm out someplace and I have a WGN thing on, it looks like I'm begging people to notice me.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Like you don't want the attention.
Well, it's not that I don't want the attention. I just don't. I don't want it to be obvious that I want the attention.
You don't want it to be obvious.
Yeah, it's weird. If I'm at a station function, then I'll represent. But I don't go to the store with, hey, look at me, I'm from WGN.
Especially when you cover up your grocery cart
creepy.
With your raincoat.
Oh, that's the least of my problems when I go to the store, believe me. For only the fifth time since 1900, Hanukkah falls on Christmas Day. First day of Hanukkah falls on the 25th, so a lot of big celebrations coming up for everybody.
That's the first time I remember that. Did they say when the last time it happened?
I think I read the last time was 1959.
Okay, that's why I don't remember it.
Schwanny was in high school then.
Yeah, no, be accurate. I was three. You were older than me.
Dancing to Frankie Avalon.
Eddie Fisher.
Eddie Fisher. Oh, My Papa was a big hit.
Hot diggity, dog diggity.
Oh, I
what
love
you
that.
Do to
Much
me.
Much as the doggy in the window. I think that was actually part of the song.
It was.
Do you know who sang it?
Oh, who did sing that?
One with the waggly tail.
Oh, I don't remember now.
Isn't it weird?
I want to say It wasn't Brenda Lee.
Nope.
Okay.
It was Cuddly Dudley.
Isn't it weird that those lyrics came back to me? I'm sure I haven't thought of it in 100 years.
But it just did.
Isn't it strange what's tucked,
oh,
in,
yeah,
tucked in your, yeah, brain?
Yep. Yep. We have to research this now.
I do hope that doggie's for sale. It was Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, it was Rosemary Clooney.
Rosemary Clooney.
Okay. Oh. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I remember her song, Come On to My House.
Come on to my house, in my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Is that the right lyric? Or am I just making stuff
up? I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
I like Rosemary Clooney.
Related to George Clooney,
she
by
is,
the way.
George Clooney's aunt.
George Clooney's aunt. That is correct.
It reminds me, I have not seen a version of the movie White Christmas this season yet.
We just watched it a few weeks ago.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. Yep. Gilda and I saw it.
Danny Kaye.
Oh, man. Those dance routines in there.
Amazing.
Fabulous.
Bing Crosby, of course. But the actress whose waist is as big as my ankle, Vera Ellen.
Yeah.
Vera Ellen.
Who is the dance partner with Danny Kaye there.
She's quite a dancer,
too. Wow. Yeah.
She was quite a dancer, too.
That's a wonderful story, though. That one and also Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn, also very good. A Wonderful Life, I probably will see on Christmas Eve. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I will. I think they run it on Christmas Eve, right, on NBC?
They have been, yeah.
I'll be busy getting ready to watch Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN-TV classics. See how I snuck that in?
Mm-hmm. Very clever. Very clever.
Thank you. It's because I'm wearing the hat. My brain is warmer today.
Oh, that's how you remembered how much is that doggy in the window, because you're wearing the hat.
Come on. Come on to my house. Oh, you'll be surprised what comes out of this brain today.
Just wait. It's a good thing we've got a shortened show today.
Got my noggin warmer on. Bozo, Gar, and Ray, is that what I said?
That's what you said.
That's what you said, yeah.
And when is that going to be on?
Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. It's a Chicago tradition. Christmas Eve at 10 p.m.
Are you running it Christmas Day also?
We're running on Christmas morning. We're running another special that we did, Bozo Circus, the 1970s. Focuses in on that decade of the Bozo show. And that's going to be on Christmas morning at 9 a.m.
Do you remember?
Wait, you say, Dean, I'm going to be away. I'm going to be over the river and through the woods.
Near grandma's house.
How can I possibly watch these shows if I'm not in the Chicago metropolitan area?
But you can, friends.
You can.
You can.
You can. They have this new thing called the World Wide Web.
Heard of it.
I've heard of that. I think it's the coming thing.
It's how I get all my important information. All of our Bozo specials will be live streamed, WGNTV.com. So no matter where you are, you're with family, friends, you grew up in the Chicago area and you want some amazing Chicago memories, Christmas Eve, 10 p.m., Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGNTV Classics. That's the special that we did featuring Bozo Circus, Garfield Goose and Friends, Ray Rayner and his friends. And then on Christmas morning at 9 a.m., Bozo Circus, the 1970s, focusing on that decade.
Now, I understand that people with small children, that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, the kids these days enjoy watching those.
We get
emails about that. Yeah.
From people who say that, you know, they're watching the shows because they grew up with the shows, but their kids are watching, or their grandkids.
Grandkids these days, yeah.
And they're a little bit mesmerized by these shows because they're slower paced and, you know. Well, we have clips of Diver Dan in there, and anytime you
can see, he was my favorite.
Anytime you see a fish smoking a cigarette.
Underwater.
Underwater. Right. Never mind
that. Was that Baron Barracuda?
That was Baron Barracuda. Yeah.
And his assistant Trigger.
Now that I thought that was Roy Rogers.
No, it was the Triggerfish was his assistant.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
I don't.
And Finley was Diver Dan's friend,
yeah,
who always alerted him as to what the Baron Barracuda was up to.
I was just focused on a fish smoking a cigarette underwater.
And I love the diver suit that Diver Dan wore.
Oh, that gigantic... what's that called? That's called something.
It's called a diver suit.
A diver suit. No, it's called something else. But yeah, it was pretty amazing. Schwani, we have a big correction to make.
Oh, we do?
It was okay. Not Rosemary Clooney who sang the song.
How much is that doggy in the window?
How much is that doggy in the window?
Who was it?
It was, thank you, several people texted in.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Patty Page.
Patty Page.
It was Patty Page.
Got it.
I do hope that dog is for sale.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay.
Thank you, Jack. You have all her records, don't you, Jack?
What's a record of
Patty Page?
What's a record of
this is the part of the show where Jack just turns it off. He doesn't pay any
Jack
attention.
Jack likes to take a nap between 9 and 9:30 on the show.
Jack and I are having a meeting right now about having OB.
Yeah, that's when we plan.
Okay.
I missed what you said. I do know what a record is.
Good.
It's those things everyone collects now.
Everyone collects now.
They're vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called vinyl. And you know, I have to get used to actually saying vinyl because I referred to them as 45s and LPs all my life.
45, Uncle Dean. I think they make great coasters.
45s would.
Yeah.
But that would be a sin.
You know what makes a
good... That would be a sin to
you know
use
what makes
those
a good
as a
coaster? Compact disc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are even better.
Compact disc, it makes an outstanding mm-hmm. coaster.
Yep.
Pretty much what they're worth now.
That's very true. But remember when they first came out?
Oh, they were rage.
Ooh, this new technology.
But it was interesting when people first heard them, those that were so used to vinyl, it just sounded too clean. It sounded way too clean because you could hear all the ranges and you didn't hear any of the crackling.
You didn't hear the ticks and the pops on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people like their ticks and pops.
Exactly.
Johnny, you're a big fan of ticks, aren't you?
I wear spray every time I go out.
Remember that one summer where we all had to be checked for ticks?
1988, 89, I think it was. Yeah,
you couldn't even come in the bed. That was at the old Tribune Tower. They were loaded with ticks over there.
Lyme disease check-in point.
Yeah, you
here.
Had to go through a full body scan before they even let you in that building over there. Sitting at the door with tweezers.
That was a big deal, though. There was some sort of not a pandemic or an epidemic, but there was an increase in Lyme disease that was transferred by these ticks that were on animals and could very easily be transferred to people.
Yeah, that's gross.
Mm-hmm. How did we get off on this? The Sunday before Christmas. Talking about Lyme disease.
If we still this is the reason why we no longer do a Christmas special. Dusty Rhodes will do a Christmas yeah. special here on WGN. Remember in the old days we used to every show contributed a 1 hour Christmas special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the very reason that all that stopped, because we would do a special a whole hour on ticks and lice.
And after that, it was canceled.
Right.
Merry Christmas.
I know what to get you now next year.
It's just not that much fun listening to people checking themselves for ticks and lice.
Doesn't translate very well to radio.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not at all. You know who we have on the show today?
Who's that?
Mr. Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, you do? Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen him lately?
He's a skinny man.
He has lost 50 pounds.
I was going to say, he has lost a lot of weight. Yeah,
Mr. Hot Pockets has lost 50 pounds. He looks fantastic. He's got a new special out. He is hilarious. Jim Gaffigan coming up in just a little while. We have a short show today because Hamp, OB, and Andy will be here with the, well, to get us revved up for another Bears. What do you call it exactly?
We're trying to figure out exactly what you call it.
I hate to say debacle.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
I think it's probably more likely debacle than anything else at this point.
Not a lot of fun.
Playing the Lions today again?
Last time they played the Lions, basically Matt Eberflus lost his job because of such great coaching toward the end of that one. That was on Thanksgiving Day. And he still has Matt Eberflus is collecting timeouts in his off time now because he never used them. puts him on a shelf. So yeah, if you're going to get Matt Eberflus a present for the holidays, he doesn't need any more timeouts.
Yeah.
These guys couldn't coach a donkey how to walk.
That was one of my favorite lines ever.
How to coach a donkey how to walk.
Where he comes up with these things, I have no idea.
That OB is...
But they're animal related most of the time.
OB is the greatest broadcaster ever in the history of broadcasting.
He's hilarious.
Love that guy. 11
there
o'clock.
There will be plenty of excitement to listen to today.
Well, yes, the post game.
That's where it all happens. That's where the action is.
That's where the action is. The pre-show begins at 11 o'clock this morning, and then immediately following the game, Hamp, OB, and Andy will all be here to talk about a Bears victory for Christmas.
Okay.
It's a Christmas miracle. That's what it is. I have some special music for you today.
Oh, you do?
For the Far-Flung Forecast.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, because it's, this is the holiday version of the Far-Flung Forecast. That's nice. It's a little tune Schwanny called Jingle Jangle.
Nice.
You know who performs
Jingle
this?
Jangle Jingle.
You know who performs it?
Who's this?
Rosemary Clooney.
I don't think so.
Take it away.
Playing the handbells.
Oh, and now with your far-flung forecast, here's that jolly old soul himself. Dave Schwab.
Ho, ho, ho. A Merry Christmas. Thank you very much, Dean. And a happy holidays to you all. And get out your compasses and protractors and special holiday newfangled devices. Because we're headed out to Wyalusing, Pennsylvania.
Say that again.
Where?
Wyalusing, Pennsylvania. I will spell it. Wyalusing.
Mm-hmm.
Wyalusing, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you made that up.
No, I didn't make it up. Population.
I know people know that half these far-flung forecasts.
Here we go.
He completely makes them
here
up.
Here we go.
They're far-fetched.
Completely false.
Far-fetched for it.
Completely false and far-fetched.
Wyalusing.
Far-flung floor flat.
There is. Flat. Are you done?
Sorry, I had some eggnog earlier.
It's that hat. Take off the hat. Will you?
Take off your hat.
Take off your hat. Raise your right hand and push.
Do you swear? No, but I know all the words.
No, but I know all the words.
Oh, God.
Take off your hat.
And now back to your far-flung forecast.
Really?
Already in progress.
Yes, and very much so. Wyalusing, Pennsylvania. It is a real town, population 596, and it dates really from the 1700s. It's also home to one of the biggest beef processing plants on the East Coast.
That's cheery.
How about that?
Oh, good.
But it is also the hometown of a gentleman named Philip Van Doren Stern.
Philip Van Doren Stern.
Hmm. Anybody?
Hmm.
Bueller? Anybody? Hmm. No one knows that name. Right. Philip Van Doren Stern was born there and was known as a writer and an editor and a Civil War historian. But in the late 1930s, early 1940s, he got the inspiration to write a short story called The Greatest Gift.
Huh.
He could not find a publisher for it, so he self-published it. But a copy got around to Hollywood because it became It's a Wonderful Life.
No way.
That's right. And you will see that credited.
Get out of town.
You will see it credited in the opening credits, I believe.
Really?
In It's a Wonderful Life, based on the short story called The Greatest Gift by Philip Van Doren Stern. And as a matter of fact,
was it the same story as the movie? Or
it was on the premise of...
Adapted.
Yeah, premise was, you know, a man who was disgruntled and disappointed in life, was contemplating ending it all, and was visited by an angel and to show him what life would have been like without him.
Was there a Mr. Potter in this book?
I haven't read the book. I don't know.
He is my favorite character.
Well, that I can imagine. Yeah, because, you know, we used to have the cast on for the radio adaptation.
We just did a couple of weeks ago.
And, you know, your favorite time in the whole year of doing the show.
Happy New Year to you.
In jail.
Go on home. They're waiting for you.
They'll run you out of town on a rail.
You once called me.
A warped, frustrated old man.
Take off your hat.
Take off your hat. Raise your right hand. But seriously,
you're in for a long afternoon today.
It's when already been a long afternoon, and it's only 9:37.
When the movie was done,
yes,
James Stewart,
yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, wrote Philip Van Doren Stern, he wrote him a letter and said the story was an inspiration to everyone concerned with the picture because the fundamental story was so sound and right.
Right.
And it is. So the hometown of Philip Van Doren Stern, for whom we can thank, is the inspiration for It's a Wonderful Life today. Christmas-like weather today, cloudy and some snow. It's only 10 above there now, going up to a high of only 13.
Buffalo Gal, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo Gal, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon. 941, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. We're talking about our Bozo, Gar, and Ray special that'll be on Christmas Eve at 10 p.m. on WGN TV, where you will be able to see the fully restored Susie Snowflake that is part of Chicago holiday tradition, and of course, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Frosty the Snowman, not to mention all the memories about Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, Garfield Goose. Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. on WGN TV, and then Christmas morning at 9. Bozo Circus, the 1970s. And let's get into our week in health feature. This is a week we really, you know, need to be thinking about our health a little bit with the kinds of things that we're eating, the crowds that we're in, the parties that we're at, the kinds of things that we're drinking this time of year as well. Dr. Jeremy Silver, always wonderful to have you on the program. He is the medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Happy holidays to you there, my friend. How are you?
Hey, same to you, Dean. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners as well.
So how big of, I don't want to spoil anyone's holiday, you know, that everything that you're going to do for the holidays are bad for you. But, you know, the drinking part, it can get a little out of hand this time of year, right?
Well, it can. You know, and nobody's saying don't do it. But I think we're definitely advising to, you know, to keep it moderated. You know, take it easy and try not to overdo it.
Are there some beverages which are less harmful than others? Are, you know, hard liquors better than wines or beers or mixed drinks better than straight alcohol? What should we do?
Well, I think it's, you know, pure the consumption, right? It's the really the amount of alcohol.
The quantity,
weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see studies come out from time to time. There was one out this week that showed a couple of glasses of red wine in a Mediterranean population. People that were eating a Mediterranean diet actually seemed to be protective against some heart disease. Mm-hmm. So people love to point to those studies, and you can't refute it. I mean, it's definitely there's definitely some advantage to wine in the long term. But you know, drinking a bottle of it over the holidays isn't going to help your heart.
Right. The rule that I had always heard was for every alcoholic beverage, every glass of an alcoholic beverage that you have, you should have a glass of water to you know, chase it, to kind of balance it off a little bit. I guess that what fights dehydration.
It does. It does help. You know, alcohol actually stimulates a hormone in the brain that tells the kidney to get rid of water in the body. It's kind of complicated, but the simple fact is, the more that you drink alcohol, the more you're going to pee out water and like you say, become dehydrated. So it certainly can help in that small way. But the way that the body eliminates alcohol is a straight line, and nothing impacts that elimination factor. So you can drink a gallon of water, you're still going to eliminate it slowly over time. So thinking about being at a party and driving home, you need to be very careful. Water is not going to help you sober up quicker, and neither will coffee, for that matter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've done our good deed of just even mentioning it and putting it, you know, in front of people, so they'll think about it a little bit. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have questions for Dr. Silver. 312-981-7200. We'll get to your calls and texts in a minute. Am I hearing that there is a measles outbreak right now?
You are. It's so sad. You know, it's the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is a country in Africa, has a huge outbreak right now. There's no access to vaccines in that country. You know, they'd be all over it if they had access. And thousands of kids have died recently, or and more have suffered the results of the malnutrition that comes with it, and diarrhea, and deafness, and blindness. And it's just, measles is such a horrible disease. And this is a great object lesson for us in the Western world, where we have access to the antidote. Let's use it. Let's not throw it away, because it saves lives, and it keeps kids from getting incredibly ill.
Yeah, I've heard that there's an outbreak as close as Canada, which is, you know, that's pretty close, especially considering how contagious measles are. Am I remembering all of this correctly? It's been a while since we've talked about measles, but I seem to remember that if somebody got measles when you were a kid, stay away from them because it's super contagious.
It is. You know, 9 out of 10 people that have been in a room with measles for, you know, a fraction of an hour are going to become infected. So it's highly contagious. And 1 out of 4 people are going to end up in the hospital if they're not vaccinated. So it's brutal, not to mention that 1 in 1,000 unvaccinated children will die from the disease.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
and it's not good.
Is this contagious airborne, or do you have to actually physically come in contact with it?
Yeah, no, just breathing in the droplets will get you sick. Definitely something you want to, if you haven't been vaccinated against measles, or you're hesitant about your child, this is one of those no-brainers where the data is all very positive in the direction of get it done, and you've done your child, yourself, your family, and those around you a huge service.
Yeah, you talked about the Congo, but I was seeing reports where it's in Australia, also very far from us. But, you know, Toronto is not that far from us. it's pretty close, you know, especially with people traveling for the holidays. You know, crowds, parties, people are getting together. You know, the last thing you need is, how do you know if you may have been exposed to it? Are there immediate signs?
Well, Dean, you mentioned the United States. There have been 284 total cases here, and just in 2024 alone, 16 outbreaks where you have a cluster of folks infected. So it's here in the U.S., and we're seeing more and more outbreaks directly related to vaccine hesitancy. It initially can represent or seem like any other kind of virus where you've got, maybe a fever or runny nose. But the three kind of cardinal symptoms of cough, runny nose, and conjunctivitis, those three symptoms together, and certainly a head-to-toe rash, would raise concern and definitely would want you to get yourself or your loved one to a physician. The other component is the very high fever.
Yeah, I thought that measles were eliminated. Was that the case, and now they have rebounded, or had they never completely eliminated in the first place?
Well, we had eliminated it for all practical purposes, I want to say, back in 2000. There were no cases being reported here in the United States. Of course, worldwide, totally different story. So we had effectively eliminated it here in the U.S. It was gone. And then through the anti-vaccine movement, that it slowly crept its way back in, unfortunately.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Well, there's been a lot of talk about the anti-vaccine movement lately, so keep your ears peeled, and we'll bring you the facts every week here as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get to some of the calls and texts for Dr. Silver when we come right back. 9:53. Sunday before Christmas. Here we go. 312-981-7200. Our phone number, your questions and texts for Dr. Jeremy Silver. I've got the 708 area code doctor asking, hearing stories about bird flu reemerging. What is bird flu? What can I do to protect myself?
Yeah, so bird flu is a form of flu that we're seeing in particularly in poultry. It's H5N1 is the call sign. And so we've seen in Canada one individual become extremely ill from being exposed. There was a thought that possibly because the herds of cattle are being infected with it, that possibly raw milk, unpasteurized milk, could potentially be a vector or a source, but that's still up for discussion. But in Louisiana, there was an older individual, somebody in their 60s, who became infected from backyard chickens, essentially, and became extremely ill. So we still have not yet seen the leap from human to human. But as we've seen over the last 5 years, eventually the odds are, with so many trillions of mutations occurring in the animal vector, eventually that there's a chance that it's gonna populate humans and then go from human to human. So the key is just really my advice to folks is stay away from birds. Don't be feeding the birds by hand. I certainly wouldn't do it. And then we, as a public health organization, the United States needs to kind of just be monitoring this, and we'll follow it along as we go.
Is there any danger in eating birds, a chicken, turkey, you name it?
No danger in eating the meat or the eggs as long as they're cooked. And that just is kind of a general truism for all kinds of bacteria.
Right.
Forget about bird flu. I think about salmonella, for instance, that is often coating the surface of the egg shell. And so when you crack the egg and it goes in the frying pan, it's still got the salmonella in it. And so if you heat it to the point where it's fully cooked through, that salmonella is effectively killed.
Yeah, that's why, so many people now, they're making eggnog, which calls for the raw eggs in the recipe. Pasteurized raw eggs, which I'm not sure if all eggs are pasteurized or not, but to pasteurize them themselves, just to be on the safe side, you need to raise them to a certain temperature. You put them in a pot with water, raise them to a certain temperature, not to the point where they become soft boiled, But just to kill off the any potential salmonella, I suppose, that might be in there. Bob, you're on WGN with Dr. Jeremy Silver. Hi.
Hi. I am 84, and when I was in grammar school, I had chicken pox, measles, and mumps. Am I still immune to those, particularly the measles?
Yeah, we all had those vaccinations when we were kids. Are we still immune?
No, no vaccination.
Oh, you had the actual diseases. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's 75 years ago.
Okay. Doctor, what's the story?
Yeah, you've got a natural immunity to it. So, I'm glad that you you're of that hardy stock of folks, that generation of people that have been through a lot of life and certainly exposed to diseases, and your body has developed an immunity to that from that.
How about the rest of us that did not have the disease but did get vaccinated for all of those things when we were kids? Are we still covered?
Yes, that immunity is persistent. Now, that doesn't hold true for all pathogens or all diseases. So, for instance, the flu changes year to year, and, of course, COVID is evolving. So those types of viruses do require re-upping the vaccine. We call those booster shots.
Okay.
But it doesn't hold for all infectious diseases. We talked about RSV and that vaccine is a one-time vaccine. So it's complicated. The immune system is not simple. And so if you have any questions, talk to your primary care doctor about what you should or shouldn't have for a vaccine.
Okay, very good. Doctor, I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday. We appreciate you greatly every week, and happy holidays to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dean. Happy holidays.
Now, how many people did you say are traveling? It actually sort of starts today, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it started yesterday, actually. And while I'm looking up those numbers for you, I will say that people in the northeastern U.S. are having challenges with storms moving through and very, very cold temperatures also. We have had good luck here in O'Hare and Midway. Everything, slight delays, maybe 15, 20 minutes or something like that. Nothing that has been overwhelming. And nearly 120 million people expected to travel 50 miles or more from home between now and New Year's. The AAA coming up with that statistic. But the TSA says that this travel between now and the beginning of the new year may exceed the record levels we set at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, 7.8 million people expected to travel by air.
Yeah.
Over the holidays. Saturday Night Live did something hilarious last night about TSA, of people, you know, people that you see at the airport, like quirky things that you see at the airport and quirky people. Was super hilarious. It was a really funny episode.
It was night. Yeah. I must say, I probably going to jinx myself now when I say this, but I've had, for the most part, very, very good luck going through TSA checkpoints. Several years ago, there was one person, this was very strange, right behind me. You know those trays that you have to take where you put all your stuff in?
Oh, yeah.
He asked me if he could use mine. In other words, to put like his stuff in where I had already put my stuff.
I don't want other people's stuff touching my stuff.
No, no. You know, I just thought,
take your own, man.
Right. There are plenty of them right there. Why do you want mine?
Yeah, I don't want anyone's stuff touching my stuff.
No.
You are a good traveler. You're a very well-seasoned traveler. Whenever Schwani gets on a plane and takes his shoes and socks off on the plane... He's always very well pedicured. There you go. That's the version right from the movie. Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Vera Ellen, and who else, Schwani?
Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Vera Ellen, and
Rosemary Clooney.
Yes, right. Who did not do How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
That's right. We're gonna mention that on every show from now on. That's going to be our New Year's resolution, to see how many times we can mention How Much Is That Doggy in the Window over and over again. Somebody texted in and said The first half hour of today's program is why they tune in. Because we were extra silly today. You know what it is?
It's the hat.
It's my hat. That
it's the hat.
Definitely the happy hat.
It's my hat.
The happy hat.
It's keeping my brain warm. It's making me sharp. What was I saying?
Who are you again?
Oh, the hat, by the way. A lot of people texted in. It's called a Gatsby hat.
Gatsby.
Gatsby hat.
That's the name of the style of hat that
means it's great.
So I looked it up, and it's also called newsboy cap.
There you go.
Which is what Andy said. And what did you call it, 20 pancakes?
Yeah, my grandfather wore a hat like that. I called it a pancake hat.
Yeah.
He got a kick out of that. I'd say, oh, Grandpa, you're wearing your pancake hat.
How little Dave is so funny.
Take him out back to the woodshed.
Get him out of this house. Driving me crazy with the pancakes. So that's the kind of I'm sporting a hat today. Because it's freezing.
Held in place by your headphones, too.
You know what? I do like having the hat on with the headphones.
Yeah. You like that?
Like earmuffs.
It's like earmuffs. It is like earmuffs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, not having anything on top. It's nice. And I'm telling you what, it's so toasty warm. I feel like a big, fat cup of hot chocolate.
Speaking of which, I have one right here.
Well, I can go for one.
Beverage check.
Thanks for offering.
Beverage check, yes.
You know, we have not had today's refreshing.
That sounds like some great H2O right there.
That is. Shwani is drinking out of a trough.
He's blowing bubbles again.
Shwani's drinking out of a horse trough.
Hot chocolate with a hint of earlier coffee.
Oh, brother.
Just a hint.
Aren't you festive?
What's the hint?
You are so festive. Looks like Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be the number one movie. It's going to make $62 million, they say, this weekend. So that's going to be the big weekend. Beating Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which also came out on Friday. I will have reviews both here on WGN Radio and on the WGN TV Morning News of the Christmas Day releases, including, Shwani, the movie you're looking forward to, the Bob Dylan movie.
Oh, yeah.
A Complete Unknown.
Yep. Very much looking forward to that.
Reviewing that and also Nosferatu.
No, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. You just reminded me. I'm definitely interested in that also. Yeah. Saw some stuff.
Gilda's a lucky girl to have somebody who'll take her to a Dracula movie. It's a movie where are killed. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, Gilda.
Well, I'm not sure if she wants to see that one, but definitely the Bob Dylan one. And we both very much enjoyed Wicked.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
So. That is a good movie. And Moana is out there right now still. It's still going crazy at the box office. It's a lot of good movies that are out right now.
Well, it's Christmas time. They usually have a good run of shows that are out.
Any of you guys stay up late enough to watch Saturday Night Live last
night? No, I didn't see it.
Did not.
I hope you recorded it. Hope you had your VCR going.
Had my Betamax
your
going.
Betamax. Your Betamax. Hey, somebody show me how to record this thing. It's flashing 12, 12, 12, 12. Remember that when they first came out?
Oh, yeah.
What's this red light mean?
Martin Short was the host last night, and he was hilarious. It was his fifth time hosting the show, so he got inducted into the Five Timers Club. You know, they opened the show with other people who have hosted the show five times or more, including Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, Kristen Wiig, Scarlett Johansson, Paul Rudd. Who else was on it? It was like one of the most star-studded openings. Emma Stone was part of it. It was just like one star after another coming out to open the show to honor Martin Short. But the sketches that they did were very, very funny. It was a really, really great episode last night. Really good stuff.
And you liked the bit about the TSA check-in.
Well, they did. They did a thing of. It was like the annual airport parade. People that you always see at the airport, and it's like the quirky characters that you always see at the airport. The person that sits next to you with food that reeks.
Ugh.
Like somebody, the person that they featured, is like, I made a tuna noodle casserole, yeah. and I'm in a middle seat.
I did this a week and a half ago, yeah. And just happened to leave it out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's like that.
It was, and I showered 6 months ago.
I get that person all the time.
You mentioned taking your shoes and socks off. Ugh. We happened to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles over Thanksgiving, and there's this scene with John Candy.
Dogs are barking.
I've got my hands between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
That's such a good movie. Talking about comedy, one of the best out there right now is our pal Jim Gaffigan. We'll talk with him coming up next. It is 10:22, and this is Dean Richards. Happy holidays from all of us here on the Sunday Morning Show. We really appreciate you joining us every week, having a few laughs with us. Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe. What a Chicago holiday tradition. Frazier Thomas would always play Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, Susie Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman, on Garfield Goose, and then on Bozo Circus. We feature each of those features as part of our Bozo, Gar, and Ray WGN-TV Classic Special, which will be rebroadcast again. It's a Christmas Eve tradition. Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. And, of course, it will be live streamed, so anyone, anywhere will be able to watch it on the web. Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN-TV Classics, Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, Garfield Goose, Christmas Eve at 10 p.m., and then when you wake up on Christmas morning, we'll have another of our Bozo specials that we've done, Bozo Circus the 1970s, featuring that classic decade in a special. Christmas morning at 9 o'clock, we've got all the good Chicago Christmas memories here on WGN-TV and WGN Radio. And right now, we've got something special for you as well.
I don't know if you know, I'm normally a fat guy. But since I've lost all this weight, now I'm just arrogant.
That's our pal Jim Gaffigan. He's got a brand new comedy special that's out. This time streaming on Hulu. This is something like his 11th stand-up special. Jim, who has lost like 50 pounds now. It looks phenomenal. He looks so great. And instead of talking about Hot Pockets and how much food he's eating in this special, he is also talking about his weight loss and, you know, how he has done it all. We spoke to him live on our WGN-TV morning news on a Friday morning. Jim Gaffigan joins us this morning.
Wow.
Hello there, my friend.
It's good to see you.
It's always great to have you. So all the talk, Jim, is about your weight loss. We can't really see it now because you're just head and shoulders in the shot, but that's okay. We saw it in the clip. How much have you lost, and how'd you do it is what everybody's asking.
You know, I don't know if this is appropriate for morning television, but I'm completely addicted to heroin.
You got to do what works for you. Yeah,
I did the appetite suppressant thing. Yeah. By the way, can I just point out that I'm not only wearing this hat as you know, as a pandering move to get people to watch my special, The Skinny, on Hulu. I also didn't shower this morning.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice picture. That's
just wanted people to know that.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing I'm from Northwest Indiana, so I'm wearing sweatpants in honor of that.
Very nice. Very nice. Bring that home for Christmas. The no shower look. So congratulations on this. What motivated you, Jim, to do this? I mean, part of your act was how much you enjoyed eating and not exercising, and clearly all the things that you must be doing now.
Well, the thing that is so great about the appetite suppressant drugs, and by the way, I'm not paid by them. They should send me money or bourbon, right?
Yeah.
Is that I just eat like a normal human. You know what I mean? Before that, I ate, you know, like most dogs, you know, like I just didn't yeah. stop.
Right.
I think I'm part lab. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I wish I was like a German Shepherd, but I'm probably just a lab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People love labs.
But I eat normal now.
Yeah. You've had a great year with this new special that's out now, and you were part of the SNL lineup, you know, prior to the election, playing Tim Walz. What was that like for you?
It was amazing. Well, the great thing about playing Tim Walz is like being kind of a doughy Midwesterner. I just did an impression of my brother Mitch. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I didn't really have to do that much research. I mean, Tim Walz is like my brother Mitch, a very sincere, empathetic guy that probably tears up around sentimental commercials. So it was fun. You know, it was an amazing run. And, but, you know, I you know, it is great to be back touring and stuff like that. But, I, you know, SNL, that's an experience of a lifetime, that's sure. for sure.
Hey, did I hear correctly that your son is opening for you when you're touring now?
Yeah, and I don't pay him either. It's great.
Excellent.
No, I you know, occasionally I'm doing some shows. You know, he's in college, but he does open for me. And anyone with, you know, a teenager, it's like, imagine going to work, and then before you start your job, you have to watch your son do your job. And so it's a lot of, it's like I'm adding more stress. I don't like to do the easy way, right? You know, it's like, well, that's why we have five kids, and, you know, it's, so my son is doing stand-up before I go on in some cities, but and then my other son, Jerry Seinfeld, is opening for, well, we're doing a co-headline thing. But in a way, he's a son also.
That's
Tim, do you give him critiques? Like, do you give him feedback?
Jerry or no. my son, neither.
Probably both.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, my son, it is great. And, you know, I'm sure I'll look back fondly. But it's just, there's a lot of anxiety because you don't want him to fail, but you also, as a dad, you want him to learn life lessons. So he's like, I'm gonna be fine, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know. Yeah. So but he's very funny, so it's always a treat.
Yeah, we got to wrap things up here, Jim, but I just want to point out one thing. You've been a longtime friend of our show here. Neither Larry nor Robin cared enough to be here this morning to see you here today. Who's here to see our Jim? Uncle Dean.
I know. I think it's so great that they kind of, like, you know, hooked up and now they're, you know, having a romantic vacation together. It's very kind of, it's more of a Good Morning America thing, but like, I think WGN, you know, we add some of that in, but it's just, they do it in a Midwestern way, you know, like it's out of the tabloids, you know, besides me bringing it up, people wouldn't know.
Yeah. At a B&B in Saugatuck right now. Exactly. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Jim, happy holidays to you, my friend. Jim Gaffigan, The Skinny, is on Hulu right now, or you can go to jimgaffigan.com. We love you, man. Thank you for coming on today.
Very excited for you because you are going to go see a show that I've been raving about, Million Dollar Quartet.
Oh, yeah. Very much looking forward
to it. At the Paramount Theater's new Stolp Island Theater, which is right adjacent to the big old Paramount Theater.
The big old Paramount
Theater. Well, you know, it's like the main theater. And then they have like kind of a medium-sized one across the street, the Copley Theater, and then this Stolp Island Theater, which, as I've told you, they set up to look like Sun Records, the legendary Sun Records Memphis.
When you mentioned that at Tree Time, when we had some of the cast members on last month, you hooked me there. You sold me on it right there.
I had you because when you walk into the theater, you open the door, It's like you're walking into Sun Records. It's not like you're walking into a theater lobby. You're in Sun Records, and it's that immersive. But then these guys, the cast, the musicians, the dancers that put this show on, you're just going to have the very best time.
I wonder if they have in the control. Do they have a setup of a likeness of a control room?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're gonna. I'm telling you what. You're not gonna want to leave.
No. I'm. Or I may be told to leave.
They may send for the Aurora police to escort you to your car.
No, I'm very much. We're very much looking forward to the show.
Well, here's. Yeah. I bring it up for this reason. One, you're gonna have the best time. Two, in just a moment, the man who has made all of these theaters possible in the Aurora, downtown Aurora, Tim Rader, is going to join us. He just got a fantastic honor, but we'll talk about everything that's going on out in the Fox Valley at the Paramount and all their little sister theaters now coming up next. 10:37, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. That is the original Let It Go from the original animated movie with Idina Menzel, or whatever it was that John Travolta called her on the Oscars that one year. But you've been hearing me raving about the production of Frozen, the Broadway musical, that is out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora right now. If you're going to have some time off for the holidays with the whole family and you're looking for something that really everybody is going to enjoy, I can't recommend this show enough. It's going on well past the new year. Plenty to see, but there is plenty going on at the good old Paramount in Aurora and also its sister theaters. All of this put together by our longtime pal Tim Rader, who is the president and CEO of the Paramount, recently named the 2024 Chicagoan of the Year theater category by the Chicago Tribune. As a matter of fact, a week from tomorrow, Monday, December 30th, is Tim Rader Day in Aurora. And we'll talk more about that, but not before I welcome back to the show our old pal Tim Rader. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Dean. Thanks for having me on.
I was just reading the press release about you being named Man of the Year for theater in Chicago and all that you've done for theater and all that you've done for downtown Aurora. And it says that you came 14 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. It just seems like yesterday.
Right. It was 13 years ago you came out to see our first production of My Fair Lady. And it's been kind of a blink.
Yeah, it sure has. But, man, you've accomplished so much in turning the Paramount around with these amazing, amazing shows. What was your vision when you came in 14 years ago?
It was just kind of, we wanted to do more. The board wanted someone to come in and start ramping up the programming. And that's, when I hired Jim Cordy, who's the magic behind all of this. You know, he's our artistic director for the Broadway series and started producing our own shows. And that little 3-week run of My Fair Lady, now this, we have a 12-week run of Frozen. It just continues to grow. And all that success for the Broadway series has led to opening the new school and operating River Edge Park, and then we opened Stolpe Island Theater and the Bold series at our Copley Theater. It just keeps rolling, It's amazing to watch.
Yeah. What are the kinds of things that you hear people saying? I'll tell you, when I'm out there to see shows, or, people text me and email me all the time, and some of them are even nice emails and texts that I get. But people tell me how the quality of the shows at the Paramount is always first rate. It's so easy to go to the Paramount compared to going to a lot of other theaters, especially downtown Chicago sometimes. It's easy to park. It's inexpensive. It's easy to go get something to eat. People always comment on this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous theater. A lot of people who have never been there, they don't realize what a diamond we have out in the western suburbs.
Yeah, and it is. We are a little diamond, and there's a lot of pride for the Paramount, and that's, I noticed that when I first got here, is everyone had such this overwhelming pride for the Paramount specifically. And I think one of the things I like hearing most, the comments that I like hearing the most are from people that have been around Aurora for a long time, maybe grew up here. And they talk about how back in the day, it was downtown Aurora was the place to go. This is where all the other suburbs, surrounding suburbs around Aurora, they went on a Friday or Saturday night. They were coming to downtown Aurora. And then they weren't, right, for a lot of years. Fox Valley Mall was built, and downtown went into decay, and there was a lot of crime. And that's been long gone for decades now. And to hear about how it's coming full circle, now everyone wants to be in downtown again, you know, that's the real fun stuff. There was a comment in one of our House reports for Million Dollar Quartet just a couple of days ago about two retired Aurora police officers that were walking around downtown, and they said, "This is Aurora. We did not expect to see this here." And that's the sort of stuff that just tickles me.
Yeah, because in most urban settings, the downtown area is, you know, blight or becoming blight. And
yeah,
that's not the case with downtown Aurora. Much of that having to do with what you've done at the Paramount. I read something, I forget where this week, that talked about how the Paramount needed the casino that was right across the street to bring people into downtown Aurora. That's no longer the case. It's like everything else needs the Paramount now that are bringing people into downtown Aurora.
Which
is amazing. I've been going through a major purge, Tim, at my house. I think I told you this years ago when we first met, that my first like kind of big radio job was right down the road from you at good old WMRO in Aurora. And I did the morning show there. Johnny Putman, who is here on WGN Radio, did the midday show there. Charlie Meyerson, who is a well-known Chicago newsman, he was my newsman in the morning. And it was at that time they decided to completely gut and renovate the Paramount Theater in Aurora back to its original glory. This would have been about 1976 or so. We broadcast live from outside in front of the theater. We did like a whole big deal. So I'm going through my house, going through boxes and boxes of stuff that I've kept through the years. I found the program from that Builder's Bash. I found the program, ticket stubs. I found everything from that night of, you know, who was on that night and what we did that night and some pictures. And wow, it was like a Paramount Theater full circle for me. It was quite amazing.
That had to have been a special night just to see that. I mean, and that's kind of what we try to do, is we try to honor the past and try to just keep building on it. And if they wouldn't have done that restoration in the 70s, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing today.
Yeah, it's amazing. So talk about now these other, it started with the Paramount, built in 1931, a gorgeous Art Deco theater, but now you've got sort of like theaters of all sizes around you. The Copley Theater is right across the street, right?
Yeah, Copley Theater right across the street. We did a renovation on that during COVID, the COVID shutdown. We kept working on that. That's got it's an intimate space. We do our Bold series there. We just had a Streetcar Named Desire, and right now we have Second City's Ugly Sweater Holiday Review. That's in the Copley Theater and to sold out crowds. And then just another block away, we've just opened our new theater, the Stolpe Island Theater, named for a little island in the middle of the river that the Paramount actually is on. They're on that island. We're on that island. And that just opened, and that's running our Million Dollar Quartet show. And then we have River Edge Park just up the river just a few blocks with Chris Kindle Market right now. So we have Chris Kindle Market with thousands of people coming to that and all these shows. And then we have our school as well. And so it's really happening. And you know, kind of to top it all off, we do these classic movie Mondays for a buck every Monday. You can come see a classic film on a huge two-story screen. And we try to stay busy. We try to bring people downtown.
Yeah, you have actually this, the all-day classic movie marathon on Tim Rader Day on Monday, December the 30th, where they're going to be playing Goonies, Back to the Future, Caddyshack, Dirty Dancing, Stand By Me, and The Shining that day. And you can get tickets at ParamountAurora.com or 630-896-6666 for more information.
But good for you. I couldn't be happier for you, for all the success that you're having out there. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for everybody who comes to the theater and they don't want to come downtown. It's a long drive. They have something pretty spectacular right in their own backyard, whether it's the Paramount or the Copley. The Stolp Island Theater, where you're doing Million Dollar Quartet, like blows the top of your head off the second you walk in the door. It's amazing. And now has been extended, by the way, through June 2025. The Chris Kindle Market's going on at River Edge Park, but when the weather gets nicer, it's like Ravinia. It's an outdoor music venue where you can, you know, sit outside and enjoy some great music. So there are tons of great things going on, and I know you want to share the credit with everybody else, but I'm here to tell you, it's because of this man, ladies and gentlemen, right here, Tim Rader. Congratulations, well-deserved, man of the year in the theater category by the Chicago Tribune. Very, very well-deserved. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dean. It wouldn't have happened without you and support and your support. And you've come to see all the shows, and wouldn't be happening without the city partnership that we have. It's an amazing team. And, yeah, there's kudos to go, you know, all around. So it's a wonderful thing to see. And it's going to be the sort of thing that I think a couple decades down the road they're going to look at this. And this is an example of how to, you know, turn a downtown around and make it something special.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. Congratulations to you, Tim. Happy holidays to you and your family, and to Jim Jarvis and Jay Kelly and the whole crew out at the Paramount. We love you guys, and wish you all the best for the new year.
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate it very much. It's an honor.
It is 10:51. This is Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN. I'll be on Bob Sirott Show between 8 and 8:30 tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning. So this won't be the very last time that I see you before Christmas time and talk with you, but it will be for this Sunday show. So we'll wrap things up. We're wrapping up a little early today because Hamp and OB are getting ready to come in, and they're going to take over and preview the Bears-Lions game. And who knows what's going to happen when the game's over and they come back and offer their analysis of all that. Hamp, OB, and Andy Mazur all coming up in just a few minutes here on WGN. Talking about theater, we're talking about Frozen out at the Paramount. Of course, Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater is a Chicago tradition. Joffrey Ballet is doing the Nutcracker, Chicago tradition. Something new this year is called Manuel's Cinema's Christmas Carol. And that is a puppet, marionette, really very sophisticated marionette version of A Christmas Carol that's at the Studebaker Theater in downtown Chicago. We also have going on Disney's The Little Mermaid right now. Irving Berlin's White Christmas is going on at the Marriott Theater until December 29th. This is the final weekend. I think actually today is the final day for It's a Wonderful Life from the American Blues Theater. So, there's plenty to see that's on stage. We'll be talking more about it a little bit next week when I also, by the way, we'll be reviewing the Christmas Day releases, the Christmas Day movie releases, which include the new Bob Dylan movie, Complete Unknown, and Nosferatu. We'll have all of that for you, both here on WGN Radio and also on the WGN TV Morning News. We'll have all of that for you. But before I go, I wanted to just take a moment to thank you all for listening every Sunday morning. We have a blast. We have so much fun here every week, but it wouldn't be complete without you. So we really appreciate you joining us each and every Sunday. And from all of us here on the Sunday show and from all of our families, we wish you all a very, very happy holiday. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and safe holidays to you.